Well, industry and educators agree that the world needs creativity, but can it be taught? There's a lot of interest in the field, with academics artificially channeling imaginative activity into templates. But according to our next guest, everyone's a bit scared of what to do next, possibly because creativity is so difficult to define in the first place. Well, joining me to talk about this is Robert Nelson, Associate Director of Student Experience at Monash University. Robert, thanks for your time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
No worries at all. So what is it about creativity that makes it so tricky to pin down?
Well, you know, it's something I think that produces an outcome that you're not really sure about the whole way through. So, you know, you could have an idea for a song, for instance, that might begin with a kind of an inkling of a melody, or it might begin with, you know, like a poem, and you take it somewhere, but you don't know what that is until you try to do it, until you make it. So it's a funny fit with everything that we try to shoehorn into a kind of like a learning outcome. This is how we kind of structure education.
Yeah, and so for...
Okay, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, go on, sorry.
Well, I mean, I think that it is hard to define creativity. I mean, it's quite hard to say what is imagination to start with.
Sure.
But I think, you know, if you could say imagination is thinking of something afresh, and then creativity is maybe finding a kind of sort of monumental form for it, so that people go, ooh, ah. But, I mean, there's a lot of area of grey there. And then you'd have other themes like, you know, innovation, which I guess you could sort of empirically prove. You could say, oh, look, this has been made and it never existed before, and so it's an innovation. So you can sort of have that proof that that happened.
Right.
But that's kind of, I think, very artificial, and it takes educators down a kind of really wooden pathway, because, you know, what's great about imaginative behavior is that it belongs to all of us. Like, you know, like when you do like an interview or whatever, you know, you're always thinking, what's he going to say? And therefore, what can I say in return? And, you know, I'm thinking all the time, well, what am I going to say? And people can make jokes, you know, they're terribly imaginative.
Of course, of course. And so, you know, when we think about creativity in an academic context, we think about arts programs, but how important is it to teach creativity across all other subjects?
Well, I think it's a really good question. I mean, here we are, I suppose, assuming that you can teach it, but I mean, I like the idea of being able to accommodate it, because I feel quite, scarily, that we suppress it, and that we don't necessarily need to have programs that artificially teach imagination or teach creativity. To be honest, I think that's going to be very difficult. Like, if you, just imagine, you have someone who strikes you as maybe being a little bit unimaginative, and it's your job to make that person imaginative. Oh, go on. You know, do you think you're going to have a good day? I mean, I think that's probably asking a lot of the educator, and it's likely to mystify this person whose mind just functions, you know, in an orderly way, doesn't enjoy the insecurity of not knowing exactly what I'm going to be thinking next. So, I mean, I love that. You know, I love the hazard, you know, that I'm going to encounter with everything that I'm going to open my big trap on. And I know that, you know, I feel secure that I haven't actually formulated the utterance properly. And I know that thanks to that lack of definition, I'm likely to come up with something that's interesting and that isn't what I've just learned. But other people can work that way, and I don't know that you can teach it.
Yeah, well, the more we talk, the more abstract and kind of nebulous the notion sounds,
yeah.
I guess. And often teaching creativity can be reduced to problem solving. What would you say is the downside of creating these more kind of analytical models?
Yeah, well, that kind of suits a lot of fields, because they like to define all of their aspirations in terms of solving problems, like, you know, how can we solve our public transport problems? How can we solve greenhouse emissions? You know, they're really worthy challenges and they require imagination.
Mm.
But the problem is that your imagination might, you know, emerge because you think of a sort of funny way of characterizing what someone else has just said. You know, you've got a satirical gift, let's say.
Mm.
And that is just as important. You know, like, so, and people who just sort of do an amazingly sort of cute roll of the shoulders in a conversation, you know, and everyone's charmed. Now, that's a creative act. So I think the risk is that we just push creativity into a kind of mould where it kind of ceases to be creative. It's really just about looking up what solutions have been suggested in the past and sort of making choices about which is the more prudent in this circumstance. Well, that's not really very creative at all. So you know, once you sort of exert a kind of pressure to make creativity goal-oriented, you've kind of started to compromise it already. I think for educational purposes, it's much, much better to set up challenges where you just enjoy the voice that, you know, an individual student uses to frame something, you know, to find out new questions that you can ask of it. Like when someone says, oh, you know, environmental discourse sounds very different in my community to your community, you know, that to me is really imaginative.
Mm.
So you're not necessarily, you know, selecting between options that are, you know, that could be described as problem solving. But you're providing a really interesting perspective. And that, I think, leads to creativity. So you've got creative behaviours, and they're all about the kind of liberty that I can take with my thinking. So if I'm allowed that liberty, that is an educational gift. On the other hand, if it's constrained, you know, there's a risk that you're taking it away. And I mean, it's a delicate balance because you can't just ask students to learn by doing whatever they want. You know, you do need a syllabus. You do need to say, I want to teach you this. But the way that you set up the challenges either accommodates student creativity or it crushes it. And I reckon we've got far too much of the latter.
Right. So it's about encouraging that kind of the inspiration and that synthesis of knowledge. I guess that, like, if you think about AI, like the AI takeover that's kind of inevitable,
yep.
That's the one thing we have over AI is that imagination.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe so. Because it's kind of, it's like almost hormonal.
Mm.
Like I have a will within me to think of something that's kind of, let's say, you know, poetic or, you know, however you describe it, you know, I want something to come into being. And that's something that a machine will have difficulty doing because it's based on a learning paradigm.
Mm.
Whereas we're based on a creative paradigm because we're impatient with our thoughts. Like
yeah.
we've thought of something, but we want to think of something else. And that leap is kind of, best described as a kind of energy,
mm.
You know, like you want to stand out by saying something that, say, makes people laugh or, you know, because it's got within it a kind of slightly crazy motif, something a little bit irrational,
mm, yeah.
Something a little bit naughty.
Element of surprise, for sure, yeah.
Definitely that, mm. Yeah.
And so you also talk about big C and little C creativity. Can you kind of elaborate on those two categories?
Yeah, so big C creativity, they're not my words, but that's where you have like your sort of genius who can create a great play or, you know, a film that self-evidently, you know, got wow factor in by virtue of its originality. So you say, I've never seen a film like that. That has, you know, that has this sort of grip on me. So, you know, Mozart and Freud and, you know, Darwin, all these guys, you know, poets, Christina Rossetti, you know, that like that, they have that claimed big C. But the thing is, it is a continuum, and you only get all of that if you've got that kind of wit. So that allows you to formulate like a joke. And you know, people like Mozart were funny, you know, like, and that's not a coincidence, you know, that they just like observations that just, that's weird. They look at something, they're like, why did the peacock develop such a long tail? That's nuts. And so, you know, that leads to big C, you know, like, ooh, evolution. You know, I see evolution coming just because this guy looked at the, that's weird. You know,
so yeah.
Trip the imagination. That small C creativity just leads to the big C stuff. And that's the bit that you want to, I think, really encourage in students.
Right, so if we do encourage that, we could have a few more Darwins on our hands then.
I can't see why not, you know.
Okay, wow. Well, Robert, thank you so much for your time today on the show. It's been really insightful and super interesting. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Love talking. It was great.
Have a great Christmas.
Thank you. Same to you. Bye. All right,
bye. That was Robert Nelson, Associate Director of Student Experience at Monash University, talking about creativity and whether it's possible to teach it. Seems as if it is. We just need to encourage that kind of little C creative thinking. If you want to check out, listen to that, head over to 2SER.com for the podcast and hear it all over again.